Be good if you could open your Bibles this morning to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. We'll be spending a little bit of time here this morning. And if you're familiar with the book of Joshua, we know that here in Joshua chapter 1, we see that Moses has died, as recorded in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, and also in the first verse of Joshua 1 here. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying... Now, we're all probably familiar with the story of Joshua. And he'd been Moses' assistant or minister or servant for some 40 or more years while Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt and then across the wilderness. And here now in Joshua chapter 1, we see the situation where Moses has died. And now God says to Joshua in verse 2, "My Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." So God's basically saying to Joshua, it's your turn to be in charge. You're the new leader. You're going to step into Moses' shoes, and you're going to lead these people into the land I've promised unto them. And we're talking a lot of people here, the children of Israel. A large group of people, maybe 2 million people or so people have estimated. And God says to Joshua, you're going to lead them into the promised land. Have you ever felt overwhelmed, unprepared for a task before you, perhaps even fearful? Afraid of what's around the corner and you can't see what's coming. It might be a new job or a new responsibility, a new role. And it's easy to feel overwhelmed in these situations. Can you imagine how Joshua felt at this stage here? He'd been the servant, the minister of Moses for 40 plus years. And you know, you read these Bible stories and these men of the Bible, and we tend to feel that these men are supermen. But the truth is that they're just people like you and me. And perhaps the main difference is, as it is in Joshua's case, he decided to believe what God said and believe he could do what God had asked him to do. God chose Joshua to replace Moses as the leader of the children of Israel. And God said that he would lead them into the promised land. God knew what was ahead, and he knew Joshua, and he knew Joshua's heart. And so when Joshua was told by God that he'd be the next leader, you know, even back in Deuteronomy chapter 31, he knew it was coming. And if we look at Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, and it says there, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." Moses told Joshua to be strong and of good courage, and that he would lead the people into the promised land. And then God himself told Joshua the same thing later in the same chapter, Deuteronomy 31, verse 23. "And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee." We can see that Joshua was told more than once to be strong and of good courage. And as you read Joshua chapter 1, three more times he's told to be strong and of a good courage. You can see that in verse 6, 7 and 9. Familiar words. You often hear these verses quoted. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. You know, Moses said it to Joshua. God said it personally to Joshua. Then three times again he says it here to Joshua, to be strong and of a good courage. You get the impression that maybe Joshua felt a little bit overwhelmed, a little bit uncertain about his ability to step up into Moses' shoes. And indeed, Moses' shoes would have been a daunting task to step into his shoes and to lead those often rebellious, complaining people of Israel into the promised land. You know, God knew that Joshua would have had doubts, would have had lack of confidence in his ability to do this great task before him. And God knew he needed to put his faith in God and look to God for his strength and his courage for this task that was before him. And as you read the book of Joshua and see that Joshua did that, God led him and delivered the land to him and the children of Israel. And, you know, God reminded Joshua here so many times to be strong and of a good courage, to not be afraid and not to be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You know, courage is often tied to the concept of strength, to be strong and courageous. If someone faces a challenge and loses courage, he's going to feel weak. He's going to feel inadequate. He's going to feel like, I can't handle this. I can't do this. But if a person has courage, he's going to be strengthened by that courage and he's going to tackle whatever's before him with confidence and strength. You know, at this point in his life, Joshua was probably about 80 years old. No small challenge for this man coming into the later years of his life to lead the children of Israel across the River Jordan and to face an unknown foe. Those giants that Joshua saw himself when he was sent to spy out the land were there before him waiting on the other side of the river. And you know, if you think of Joshua and his humaneness, he must have wondered, am I up to this challenge? And so God over and over again tells him, do not be afraid, be strong, be courageous. I want to give you my strength and I'll be there with you. Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, don't let it get you down. God knows us and God knows what lies ahead for each of us. He knows that we're prone to be fearful and become discouraged when we're faced with perhaps something we fear, a major challenge or a major assignment, and we feel like it's beyond our human ability. And just as Joshua was commanded to be strong and of courage, just the same it is for us. You know, courage, if you've got courage, doesn't mean you run into fearful circumstances. You don't run away from them. You do it with confidence and without fear. And you know, you don't read, as you read through the book of Joshua and read of what Joshua did, you don't read of him being afraid or having a panic attack or being concerned about anything. He seems to be a natural leader. He seems to be able to lead the children of Israel in. Sure, he made mistakes, don't we all? But I think here was his foundation. He had these promises from God that God would be there with him. And he wasn't afraid because he had his faith in God. And he didn't allow himself to become dismayed because he knew that the Lord had said, the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You know, it's an expression of our faith. It's an exercise of our will. It's a choice we make to run head on into the situation God has put before us and to remember that God says we're to be strong and of a good courage. We're not to be afraid or dismayed. You know, we need these words just as much as Joshua did on that day when he was given this new direction. You know, God gave Joshua his direction. Joshua didn't wake up one morning and say, I think I'll lead the children of Israel over Jordan and we'll go and smash Jericho. Joshua didn't think that way. He just did what God said. He just followed God's direction. God said, go over the river. And so Joshua went over. And then God gave him specific instructions of how to tackle the city of Jericho. It was none of Joshua's ideas. None of Joshua's planning. In fact, when Joshua went with his own planning, that's when things fell apart at the city of Ai. That's when he forgot to check what God wanted him to do. If we were writing the script for our lives, if we were writing what we wanted for our lives, I reckon we'd play it safe. We'd only put down things that we'd think we could manage. And I don't think Joshua would have ever put down leading the children of Israel to conquer the promised land. But God put it down for him. And I don't think any of us here would have dreamed of volunteering to lead the children of Israel into the promised land and to face the battles there. You know, God knows what you can manage, and God knows our faith, and God doesn't take us past what we can handle. And if God has given us a task, he says, now go in and be strong and courageous. I'll be there with you. And, you know, God gave Joshua many promises. In verse 3 here, he says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. That's a promise. He promised Joshua, wherever you tread, that land is yours. And then verse 5, he said, there shall not be a man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Another promise that God gave Joshua. And then he said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Another promise. Just as you've seen me with Moses, I'll be there with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Another promise that God gave Joshua. And we can claim those promises for ourselves. You know, God gives us the same promise. He'll be there with us. He'll go there with us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. You know, Jesus said to his disciples as he's leaving the earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. You know, God never sends us to do anything where he doesn't come along with us. He's right there with us. Now, Joshua, he must have needed to learn this, that he had to be strong and courageous, and not in his own strength and ability, but in God's strength. And we're told in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. And as it was a challenge for Joshua, it can be a challenge for us in our day to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, God's might, not our might. Now, I want to backpedal a little bit here. How did Joshua, the son of Nun, how did he become the man God chose to take the place of Moses? How did Joshua qualify for this tremendous task? Why did Joshua be the chosen man? And I've entitled the message this morning called The Making of a Servant. And perhaps you're thinking, why shouldn't it be called The Making of a Leader? And I think I want to look at a few things about the heart of Joshua and Joshua's heart before God. And I think we'll see why we're looking at the making of a servant, not the making of a leader here this morning. You know, when Israel left Egypt, there was a young man named Joshua that went with them out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. We know little about Joshua's background. We don't know anything about his life in Egypt, and we don't really know much about him at all. All we know is the son of Nun. And we mostly know about him because of his leadership here in Joshua, the book of Joshua, in the conquest of the promised land. But what did Joshua learn that made him a great man in the ministry of the Lord? We don't know a lot about his family. We only know his father's name. And every time you read about Joshua, God almost every time refers to him as Joshua, the son of Nun. And there's not a lot to be found in the Bible about Mr. Nun. And in 1 Chronicles 7, 22 to 27, we find a brief family tree of Joshua's family. Make a note of that and have a look for yourself. Basically, Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim was the son of Joseph. So Joshua was a direct descendant of Joseph down through his family tree. But other than that, we don't know a lot about Joshua's family and his background. But by browsing through the books of Moses here, from Exodus through to Joshua, we find him mentioned often. And so I want to look at a few things to consider about Joshua. And the first thing I'd like to look at is his changed heart. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. I'm not going through in order of mention of Joshua this morning. I'm just sort of picking as I go. So this is not the first mention of Joshua, but I thought it was a good place to start. So Numbers chapter 13 and verse 16. And this actually is a list of the men who are chosen to go in to be spies into the land of Canaan when Moses was sending a group of spies, and he chose someone from each tribe. And we notice there in verse 16, these are the names of the men which Moses sent out to spy the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. So we see here that this is Joshua here. He was chosen to be one of the spies of the land. And you can see that in verse 8, of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. So we can see here that the first thing we can notice, he wasn't always known by the name Joshua. He had another name when he was born. His father, Nun, didn't name him Joshua. He called him Hoshea. Or, as we see it spelt in Deuteronomy, Hoshea, with a H. And here, Moses called him Jehoshua, or Joshua. And so we see here clearly that Joshua was called Hoshea, and Moses decided to call him Joshua. So he had a name change. He wasn't born Joshua. So why did Moses change his name? What was wrong with his other name? And when you look at the meaning of the name, it's quite significant. Hoshea means deliverer, someone who delivers. But Joshua means Yahweh delivers, or God delivers. So Hoshea meant an earthly or fleshly deliverer, but Joshua meant a heavenly deliverer, or God delivers. Quite a significant name change for Joshua. And it reminded me of the significant heart change we all need. A change from a sinful heart to a forgiven heart via the plan of the gospel. A plan from an earthly driven heart to a God controlled heart. You know, God's plan of salvation to change our wretched hearts into hearts, our wretched sinful hearts into hearts that are covered by God's righteousness. All through that once and for all sacrifice for our sins on the cross by his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see a name change here for Joshua. He went from an earthly man-powered deliverer to a God-powered deliverer. What a difference. What a change. What a heart change of heart we see here. And we also can experience a change of heart, a life-changing event like that for ourselves. We can seek to change our heart from a sin-seeking heart to a heart that seeks forgiveness from God for that sin, and a heart that seeks to please God, a heart that seeks to follow God, not grieve him with our sin. You know, Joshua knew the true source of his strength. It was from God, not from himself. He wasn't powered by his own ability. He wasn't an earthly deliverer. He was God-powered deliverer. What a change. What a change of direction. What a change of heart. It was just a name change, but when you look into it, we can see a picture of a change of heart. The next thing I'd like to look at about Joshua is the fact that he had a love of God in his heart. Or he had a lover of God heart. Turn with me back to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And just quickly to give us the context of what we're looking at here in chapter 33, Moses had gone into the tabernacle in verse 9, and the cloudy pillar, the presence of God, had descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses inside the tabernacle while all the children of Israel watched on with much awe, as we see in verse 10. But verse 11 is interesting, and it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he, Moses, turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." So we see an experience here for Moses speaking to God face to face in the tabernacle, just like I would speak to you, or you would speak to your friend face to face. But in the last part of the verse, and Moses turned again into the camp. He left the tabernacle. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Have you ever noticed that before? Joshua stayed behind. Moses left. And normally when you find Joshua in the books of Moses, where Moses is, Joshua is following not far behind. But in this case, he didn't follow. He stayed in the tabernacle. You know, Joshua had just come down from the mountain. If you read the previous chapter, chapter 32 of Exodus, you'll see that Joshua had just come down out of the mountain with Moses and found the children of Israel fall into sin and dreadful wickedness, worshipping a golden calf and degrading themselves before that calf and before God. And Joshua had just witnessed God giving Moses the Ten Commandments on those stone tablets. And Joshua had no doubt felt the presence of God in those days there on the mountain. And he may have even seen God's hand writing on those tablets of stone. Joshua had many wonderful experiences following Moses around. But so Joshua had tasted something of who God was, and he wanted more, and he would not leave the tabernacle. He knew God's presence was there, and he didn't leave the tabernacle. He stayed there to be in the presence of God. You know, we can see that Joshua had a heart that sought after and loved to be in the presence of God, to be near God. And he couldn't bring himself to leave the presence of God. He stayed there in the tabernacle. You know, the children of Israel stood afar off while Moses went into the tabernacle. But Joshua, he went right down in where the presence of God was. It was like a magnet for him. He knew the love of God, and it made him into a lover of God in his heart. You know, the attraction of God made all the world had to offer just as darkness to Joshua. His eyes had seen the Lord and the work of the Lord, and he wanted to be there as close as he could. And he wanted to remain in the presence of God there in the tabernacle. You know, David the psalmist also had an attraction for the presence of God. Psalm 15 begins, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart." You know, it can be a joy to stand in the presence of God when you're with your soul clean from the dross of life and the attractions of it. Sin is cast away, it's under the blood. And we can just enjoy his love and glory and enjoy being in his presence. You know, Psalm 27 verse 5, "For in time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." You know, the Lord is a refuge for our souls. When the world is pressed around us and we're smitten and troubled, he knows who we are, and he opens his arms for us with that eternal love. You know, the psalmist also in Psalm 43, verses 3 and 4, he spoke of going unto the altar of the God, unto God my exceeding joy. My exceeding joy. Is the Lord our exceeding joy, as it seemed to be for Joshua, who sought to be in his presence and couldn't bring himself to leave? Do we know him personally? Do we know what the psalmist is talking about, speaking of being exceeding joy in being in the presence of the Lord. You know, once again, He is our strength and our help, and He gives us the courage. We're capable of nothing without Him. It's only under His wings that we learn that truth, and in His presence that we can be encouraged and strengthened by Him. And think of another concept, something else that applies to us in the church age. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Know you not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" You know, we don't have to go to a tabernacle. We don't have to find a tabernacle to see the presence and feel the presence of God. God dwells within us. We are His temple. You know, the living God who thundered there on Mount Sinai with Moses, He dwells within us. Do we seek His presence? Do we enjoy His presence? Is He our exceeding joy? Do we spend time with Him? Does our heart and flesh and soul cry out to be with our God? You know, Joshua, he found something. He found the presence of God there in the tabernacle, and he didn't want to leave. How does our love compare to Joshua's? We who are the temple of God, and we have God, the Spirit of God, dwelling in us. That being the case, should not our desire to be in His presence be a whole lot stronger than Joshua's was? Joshua, who dwelt in the presence of God. Next thing I'd like to consider about Joshua's heart is that he had a warrior's heart. Turn back to Exodus chapter 17. This is actually where Joshua is first mentioned in the record of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And in verses 8 to 10 of Exodus 17, we see how Amalek came and fought with Israel there in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. And tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So here we can see Joshua was told by Moses to go and fight Amalek. Now, if you think about children of Israel fresh out of the bondage of Egypt, they were not accustomed to war. If you think about it, they'd been living as slaves in Egypt. There was no need for them to probably even drill any battle practices. They'd probably never thought about strategy for battle. They'd probably even hardly wielded the sword, and they'd never been in a battle. And here we see Joshua being asked to lead this bunch of people who'd never been in a battle to fight against Amalek. Now, Amalek was probably a battle tribe, someone who they existed on the sword. They existed by battle. But Joshua seems to go in here fearlessly. There's no mention of him quibbling at the request. And he knew that Moses was up on the hill with the rod of God in his hand. He knew where his help was from. So Joshua was fearless and he was faithful. And if you think of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4, we read, "Now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with affairs of life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You know, the warrior's life, the soldier's life, is not an easy life. It's a one of preparation, one of shedding blood and tears in the battle, not getting weary, but going strong as the enemy falters. Enduring is probably a key word as you think of a warrior's goals. And the Christian walk is a battle. It's not a short little skirmish and then we can lie down and rest. It's a constant battle. Our foe, the devil, never sleeps. He's always desiring our destruction. And the warrior is always on guard. You know, Joshua went out to fight this enemy with an inexperienced army with him. And it appears he just trusted God to provide him that victory in the battle as a warrior. And, you know, where are our warriors' hearts? Where is our faith in God? Just like Joshua here, who went out in faith and fought the battle. And as it says there in verse 13, Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. You know, God gave Joshua that victory there as he was sent out into his first battle. Turn over to Numbers chapter 14. And we'll look at Joshua's faithful heart. Now, Numbers 14 has a familiar story here. The story of the 12 spies being sent into the land to spy it out before Moses and the children of Israel entered. Well, that was the plan. That was God's plan. But as we know, the spies came back, and 10 of those spies came back with a bad report and fear in their hearts. And we can see in verse 31 of chapter 13, and the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And in verse 33, they said, And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come out of the giants. And we were as in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. So 10 scared spies said, we can't do this. We're outnumbered. They're bigger than us. We're like grasshoppers. Now, and we know the story, Joshua and Caleb were the only two who brought a contrary report. And yet Joshua saw the same giants everybody else saw. He saw the same strength of numbers and those big warriors there. But look at what Joshua said in Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. We can see that Joshua is very confident here. His faith of his Lord is strong. He says, don't fear the people of the land. They're just like bread for us. We can break them up. We can eat them up, just like we do bread. The Lord is with us. We don't need to fear. And we know the story because of Joshua's faith and also Caleb's, because of their faith in God's word and their faith that God would conquer those people for them. They got to outlive those 10 other spies and everyone else in that generation. Israel, the children of Israel, had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all those unbelieving, unfaithful had died. And only Joshua and Caleb would survive that generation and enter into the promised land. A faithful heart, a faith-filled heart had Joshua. Joshua had a great faith in his God and his Lord. He had no doubt that the Lord would give him the land. He said, these people are just bread before us. We'll just smash them like we smash a loaf of bread and eat it. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 24. I see here that Joshua had a servant's heart. Exodus 24 and verse 13. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. We see here that Joshua is called Moses' minister or servant. And you know, one who desires or happy to be a servant is one who is willing to be abased. You know, Jesus said that the greatest one is the king in the kingdom is servant of all. You know, when we looked at Joshua's warrior's heart, when Joshua came back victorious from the battle with the Amalekites, he could have loudly proclaimed his victory. He could have perhaps even demanded leadership from Moses. He could have ridden on his victory and taken over the camp. He had men hand-picked who could fight. He could have come back and made a big thing about how the victory he had over the Amalekites. But the servant doesn't even think of these things. As a servant, Joshua quietly came back from battle and just continued quietly being a servant. You know, the servant spends time with the master. You know, often you read verses like this in Exodus 24:13. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God, and it's implied that Joshua went with him. And often, you read through it, you'll often find, and Joshua was there with him. Joshua just quietly followed Moses and was there when Moses needed him. You know, Joshua was like the shadow of Moses. Where Moses was, there Joshua was. And verse 18, and Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up on the mount, and Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. You know, Moses didn't just go up into the mountain for a few hours. He was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And then in Exodus 32:15-17, and Moses turned and went down from the mount. And verse 17, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people that shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Joshua is still there with Moses when he returns. Joshua had been with him the full 40 days and 40 nights. And imagine the things that Joshua witnessed as he followed Moses, as he was that humble minister of Moses, ministering to Moses' needs and whatever Moses needed. The servant's heart is humble, obedient, and quiet, just quietly there ministering. And Joshua, over and over again, you find Joshua, the son of Nun, following Moses. And imagine the things he saw, the things he heard, the experiences he had as he served Moses. And he was there when Moses was face to face with the Lord. Joshua was there in the background, just quietly there in the background. Can you see the making of a servant in the life of Joshua in his heart? Humanly speaking, and if you looked at Joshua, you would say he became a leader of a great army, and he became a great general of the Israelites invading the promised land, and all the enemy was heard them coming and fear was in their hearts. He became a great leader. But I think in light of what we've looked at, we can see that Joshua simply remained a servant for his whole life and for his whole service to the Lord. You know, even there in Joshua chapter 1, he's still referred to as Moses' minister. Joshua had a servant's heart. He was willing to serve, willing to just faithfully serve his Lord and God, and that's what he did. And because of his changed heart, his heart that had that love for God, love for the presence of God, his warrior's heart, his servant's heart, his faithful heart, God chose him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land and to lead the charge to overthrow the inhabitants of the land. And God gave him the strength and the courage and the ability and the unafraid character to do it. And yet Joshua remained the servant of God right to the end. Turn over to the last chapter of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. You know, it doesn't say that Joshua, the leader of the children of Israel, died. It just says Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died. What a humble end to a man who God used in many mighty ways and miraculous ways. Read the book of Joshua and see what God achieved through his servant Joshua. Joshua wasn't perfect. He failed at AI in Joshua 7. He forgot to check with God what the next step was, and he also made a mistake with the men of Gibeon in Joshua 9. And again, he just simply forgot to check the counsel of the Lord before making a decision. But we're all like that. We forget that we're servants. We rush ahead of the Lord and do our own plan and our own thoughts. And it never ends well, just as Joshua found out when he made his own plans. We know that well-known verse in Joshua 24, verse 15. And the last part, that last phrase, it says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That was Joshua's life motto almost. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua was all about serving. He didn't seek to be the leader. He was just willing to serve. And the challenge of that verse, as familiar as it is still the same. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Who will we serve? Will we serve ourselves and our own ambitions? Or are we willing just to be faithful, quiet servants of the Lord, following his will for our lives and doing what he leads us to do and trusting him to be our strength and courage, whatever that task may be? You know, remember how many times the Lord said to Joshua to be strong, to be full of courage, to not be afraid, to be not dismayed. And that promise, the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua, his life gives us that. He was always willing to serve the Lord right to the end. And he was just known as the servant of the Lord. And he was a faithful, hearted man. And he had a great love for his God. How do we compare to Joshua, the man who served God right to the end? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the examples you have in Scripture for us. And we thank you for the way that we can use these to challenge our own hearts and lives and to guide us in how you would have us to be. And we pray that we would all have hearts like Joshua and that we would be faithful, willing servants of yours and that we wouldn't seek to do our own thing, to go our own way, but we would always look to you for direction and that we would let you guide our paths in everything that we do, say or think. And so we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.